I would like to invite you to join me in the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy chapter 8 to begin with. Deuteronomy, it's the fifth book of the Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 8. And let me go ahead and just give you the title of the message here in just a moment, but let's just join our hearts together once again as we look to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I know you can speak to every one of us here, online, now, in the future. And you can speak a personal word that we need. So I ask for fresh manna today from your spirit, a living word that we need that will ultimately fulfill your purpose and give you glory and advance your holy kingdom and your reign in us first and then through us to others. Please have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning, as I shared earlier, is How Can I Keep Going When Times Are Tough? How can I keep going when times are tough? And I'm continuing through a series in this 21-day devotional called Walk in Newness of Life. And for those of you who have a copy, it's on page, today's topic is in page, or day 15. And if you don't have one and if you want one, any profit that is made, God has blessed us. I've been able to pay all of the editing and all of the process of publishing, and I don't want anything back for it. I just wanted to do it as an offering to the Lord. I made payments over time. It's paid for now, and every penny that comes in and some, I pass on to our missionaries. So if you would like to bless them, maybe about $3 or $4, I guess, from each one goes toward them. And you don't need to announce this, but if you don't have the money, don't worry about it. If you want one, I'll just ask, if you could use it, help yourself, okay? And we'll take care of it, all right? But that's for today. I wanted to read something from this day in just a moment, but let me share one scripture first with you. And it's found, if you want to just write it down, we'll eventually turn there. But it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, just one verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, and then we'll look at Deuteronomy. The Bible says this, but we do not want you to be ignorant. That word just means unaware. He's writing to fellow Christians in this church in Corinth, and these believers who wrote said, we don't want you to be unaware, brethren, of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure above strength. That means above human strength. Sometimes we can get to the place in life that we don't have the human strength to really deal with whatever it is. And that could be spiritual strength, whatever it may be. And this is, listen to what these godly people said, above strength so that we despaired even of life. I'm glad the Bible is real and deals with real people who found a real solution in a real God. So how can I keep going when times are tough? And I just want to say this real quick because it's so important to develop the practices that are in the first 14 days because to go through these tough times, we need to nurture a growing relationship with the Lord because we only go through victoriously with his presence and grace. So it's kind of walked through from day one of bringing people to a genuine knowledge of salvation and walking with the Lord. We begin our walk, but then there are activities and practices, not burdens, but just ways we get to know the Lord better, like prayer and worship and how we get into his word. It strengthens our faith. So let me read this from page 43. It's what it says as we just carry on. And I think you can relate to it. Again, this is how can I keep going when times are tough. It says, in this life, we will have troubles and sorrows. Jesus told us that. And there are scriptures in here if you want to see those. Our faith will be tested. And during these times, we can be tempted to give up. Let me pause there just a minute. We got any real people here this morning? How many of us would be willing to just say, I've been in times before and maybe by God's grace I didn't, but I have felt like giving up. All right, I just want to make sure we we got, I'd rather be real than phony. And then, yet, troubles give us an opportunity to grow closer to the Lord and to grow more like him. The Bible tells us that tribulation works perseverance or endurance. And then in another place, it says we need that endurance so that we keep going in God's will until we receive the promises that he's granted us in his word. So if we can keep in mind that this can work for me, for my good, God can use it that way. Not minimizing anyone's hard time. And I'll just say before I read this, Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 2, let's make sure we all are on the same page. God never tempts us to sin, ever. James makes that clear. He never, we are tempted, but that's not God. But he will test our faith. And here's the difference, and he tells us why. Deuteronomy 8, 2 says this, "And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness, first of all, to humble you." Test can show us, they can humble us in the sense that they show us we need God. And we can try to run our own lives if we want. And that's everybody's choice. But what are you going to do when you get, if you do get a place like we read there in 2 Corinthians, above strength and you despair of life? I hope you don't do just something drastic. God is available. So to humble you and test you, why? To know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. See, the tests reveal to us, not to God. They reveal to us, am I going to be a doer of the word, or am I just going to be a Sunday morning pew warmer hearer only? Or online. But we have to do the word. Let's do the word. The test gives us a chance to see, all right, Lord, I'm going to trust you in this. Verse 3, so he humbled you and allowed you to hunger. There was a need. And fed you with manna. God rained angels' food down for people for 40 years from heaven, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by physical food alone, by bread alone. See, God gave messages and object lessons in meals and holidays and so forth. He says, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. We need that living food. That living bread every day. And then if you drop down to verse 16, one last verse here, the Bible says that the Lord fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might, here it is again, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you what? Good. See, God's not out to hurt us. He's for us. The tests are difficult, but God has a good purpose in mind. He says, I'm taking you through this test, not to destroy you, but to bless you. If you will trust me, you'll come through and you'll receive it. Now, would you join me in the New Testament book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'll read a few verses there in just a moment, but I'll give you a few verses from 1 Peter chapter 1 first, and then we'll look at three ways that we can keep going according to God's word, even when the times are tough. And again, the test of our faith, not temptation to sin, but the test of our faith can humble us, show us how much we need the Lord. It can give us the opportunity. All right, here's the test. Am I going to do what the scripture says or not? So the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. It says we walk by faith, not by sight, not by emotion or intellect or reason. Let's just trust the Lord. And live his way and receive his blessings. Again, the trials are tough. If you want to write these scriptures down, it's 1 Peter chapter 1. Let me read it to you. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. The Bible says this. In this you greatly rejoice. I'll come back to that in a second. In this you greatly rejoice. Would you please say greatly rejoice? Greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved. Would you please say grieved? Grieved by various trials. So let me tell you, just for sake of time, what we can greatly rejoice in from the previous verses. We can greatly rejoice that we have a living hope because Jesus conquered death. We can greatly rejoice because we have an inheritance that is eternal and unfading in the heavens waiting for us. And we can greatly rejoice because we are kept by the power of God. So he says, in this, you greatly rejoice, but I know right now it's grieving because you're going through a tough time. Trials are tough. Would you just please tell somebody next to you, trials are tough. Not that that's, talk about stating the obvious. But he says this, verse 7, that the genuineness, the tested genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is what? There it is, tested. Your faith is being tested by fire, not to destroy it, but that it may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then we can rejoice in verse 8 too. It says, whom having not seen you love. Why do we love him? Because he first loved us. So we can rejoice in his love for us, and we can rejoice in our love for him. And I've heard this illustration. I'll share it before I read in 2 Corinthians 1. I don't know if it's accurate or not. It sounds good. But there is, fire does purify metal. So like if you had gold and it was in like a pot, you put the fire to it and it brings the impurities to the top so that they can be scraped away. And that's how it is refined and it's purified. You've like different levels of karat gold. But this is what, back in the day at least, some would say that when the smelter, the one who was purifying the gold, would look into the gold, they knew it was pure when they could see their reflection. So maybe when we go through the fire of God-ordained testing, it's just allowed to bring the impurities. Have you ever had impurities just come up? And you're like, where did that come from? So that they can be removed, so that the one who loved us and gave himself for us sees his reflection in us, and we reflect his glory out to others. And he knows how long to leave the heat up and at what temperature. Ultimately, to bring us into Christ's likeness. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, let's pick up again at verse 8. I'll move on. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia. We were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Verse 9, yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. They shifted their trust when they couldn't go on, despaired even of life, and realized, I can't trust myself. I can't trust my intellect, my ability, my emotion, my reason. I can't lean on the arm of flesh. Let me just put my trust completely in the one who raises the dead. And then in verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death, and present does deliver us, and in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. So they trusted God and they thanked him for past deliverance. They thanked him for present deliverance, and they thanked him for future deliverance that hadn't even come yet. That's faith. And that's how they kept going. They trusted him and they persevered by his grace and for his glory. So that's why I say it's so important to count our blessings and to keep our focus on the Lord. I can relate to someone like this. I can relate to someone who's going through a difficult time, who feels like saying, I was ready to quit. Because I can learn from somebody like that. And that's what I want to do, and I hope that we will do. So let me ask you, if you want to just write these three steps, I believe, that are helpful, that of how we can keep going when times are tough. How can I keep going? I'll try to center it on three words, maybe just to make it easy to remember. But would you turn over to 2 Corinthians, right there where you are, chapter 4, from chapter 1 to chapter 4. And again, we'll build on the three words, but they're simply feed, focus, and fellowship. Feed, focus, and fellowship. The Bible says this, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. And since we have the same spirit of faith, let's pause right there a minute. How do we get faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing. Now, the context there, just to be clear, is to hear the message of salvation. We have to hear the good news in order to be saved. Because then he asked, how can people believe if they haven't heard? But that's not all. Because 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2 tells us, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So we grow spiritually. We grow our faith by feeding our faith with the inspired word of God. So that's why he says in verse 13, and since we have the same spirit of faith, where did a spirit of faith come from? According to what is written? A spirit of faith comes from what is written by God. And he quotes a scripture in the Psalms and he says, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. Remember, we read in Deuteronomy, we do not live, at least as followers of Jesus, we do not live by physical food alone. We live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. That's how we feed our faith. So I've got to feed my faith with God's word. Would you say that with me? Feed my faith with God's word. Feed my faith with God's word. Feed my faith with God's word. Again, let's be honest. We can be honest about what we see. We can be honest about how we feel. We don't need to cover it up. Don't mask it. Here is the issue, and I would ask that, because I'm in here with you. But let's not discourage and defeat ourselves by constant complaining, constant criticizing, and constant negativity that comes from unbelief. Because a spirit of faith confesses the life-giving word of God that imparts grace to build us up. I believed, and therefore I spoke. We believe, and therefore we speak. Again, nothing wrong, be honest. All right, what do you say, Brother Mark? Don't park there. No parking. This is a no parking zone. You just keep. A song came. That's how stuff can come to you. Remember, keep on trucking, baby. You remember? Just keep going. Feeding our faith. Feeding our faith. Brothers and sisters, we all need this. To have a growing, just alive, close walk with the Lord, building ourselves up on our most holy faith. And remember, the tests can reveal. They reveal us to ourselves. Here's what they can also reveal. See, I can go to the gym and I can say I'm strong. I can think I'm strong. You want to know how you'll find out? Put me to the test. Put some weight on that bar and see if I can push it. The test reveals spiritual anemia. If I'm anemic spiritually, I just need to get back to start feeding my faith. I got to feed that inner man. I got to feed my faith in the Lord. Here's the reality of it. We're all feeding something anyway. So if we would just be honest, Lord, what am I feeding? Am I feeding my faith in you? Or am I feeding fear? Am I feeding worry and anxiety? Am I feeding anger? Am I feeding immorality? No, let's feed our faith in God with his word. So how can I keep going when times are tough? I've got to have enough faith to keep going, which means I've got to feed my faith with God's word and stay close to him. All right, would you please say feed?
Feed.
And would you say focus?
Focus.
2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. Let me just give you that first. I want to just give you a little context. I'm mainly going to verse 16. But this is what it says if you're there in 2 Corinthians 4, 1. It says this, therefore, or because of this, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. I love that phrase. Would you just please tell somebody next to you now, don't lose heart, don't give up. Since we have received this ministry, what ministry have we received? Here it is. The ministry of the Spirit, the ministry of righteousness, and the ministry of reconciliation. Three ministries we have received according to chapter 3. And thank God we have received his mercy. I didn't get what I deserved. And because of that, I can't quit. I got to keep going by God's grace. Verse 16, therefore, again, because we have the same spirit of faith and we believe and therefore we speak and we trust the one who raises the dead, that he's not just, didn't just raise Jesus, he's raising us. Therefore, because of that, we do not lose heart. And even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed. How often? If we feed it and exercise it, renewed day by day. Verse 17 is not making light of anyone's problems, I promise you. Verse 17 says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Doesn't feel light and momentary when we're in it, though, do we? Does it? It's only light in comparison to the weight of glory, and it's only temporary when we contrast it with all of eternity. That's why he says in verse 18, while we do not look at the things which are seen. Let me read that to you from the Christian Standard Bible, because that word look, I said we're to be honest about what we see. It's not just like, oh, I see it. It's like to focus on it. So the Bible says this, that same verse, Christian Standard Bible says, so we do not focus on what is seen, but we focus on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. What we choose to focus on seems to grow. It's like we're feeding it. And maybe you can relate to what I'm getting ready to say, but we can put our emotions in turmoil by what we focus on. We can put our relationships in turmoil by what we focus on. I can focus on every wrong thing, every negative, every all the times of, you know, hurt, disappointment, words. If I choose to focus on that, it'll rile my emotions up and I can be in go in inner conflict and I'll kind of take it out on someone. They don't even know what's going on. But it's our focus. But see, that can be turned around. I can help my emotions be at ease and calm and rest and peace by my focus. I can bring blessing to relationship by my focus. And say, I know you just did that recently, but I know that's not the real you. You've been blessing me for 35 years. I'm gonna focus on what was past, not just. So how to keep going for us then is to focus on Jesus. That's why the Bible, if you wanna write this down, and you stay there in 2 Corinthians, I'll come back, one scripture. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3 says this. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. I talked about that last week in overcoming temptation. Man, sin can just easily trip us up. Let us run with endurance. Remember, tribulation produces endurance. The race set before us, looking. That word has two meanings. It means to look away and to fix one's eyes on. It means to look away from every distraction because this world has plenty. This has plenty. It's not all bad. We just have to be aware. So look away and fix my focus on Jesus. And I have to keep doing it all the time. It's a lifestyle, man. I got to keep focusing, keep focusing, keep focusing, because there's always something to distract me and get me focused on something else that can rile me up or bring me down. So looking unto Jesus, it's all about him from start to finish. He's not only the one who begins my faith, he completes it. He's the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Jesus endured what he despised because he knew joy was waiting on the other side. So that's what I mean. If we got to keep going in God's will to get through what we might despise and endure until we get to the place of receiving the promise. He endured the cross because there was joy waiting on him, and the joy was reaching us. He didn't endure the cross for himself. It was for us. Verse 3, for consider him. You want to focus? Think about Jesus. Would you please tell somebody next to you, think about Jesus. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged. Where? If our bodies need rest, you just got to rest. There's nothing spiritual about wearing ourselves out necessarily. But when our souls are weary and discouraged, brothers and sisters, how can I keep going then? I got to feed my faith with God's word, and I've got to focus on Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. And then last, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Would you turn back to chapter 1? I'll pick up where we left off. One verse, verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11. They talked about how we trust God for past rescue, present rescue, and we're trusting him for future rescue. In verse 11, you also, would you please say that with me? You also helping together, how? In prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf. See, when we thank God in offering our prayers, we're to thank him. But we're also to thank him when the answer comes. And he said, we were at the point where we despaired of life above human strength, but you prayed us through. You helped us. We trusted God. We got our focus on what was eternal, but y'all helped out. Because we're in this together. So feed my faith with God's word, focus on Jesus, and fellowship and pray with believers. Fellowship and pray with believers. That's so important. We can get together as believers and talk about everything but God. We can complain about this and complain about that. Again, nothing wrong with being honest. But if we stop with that, we didn't take advantage of the real fellowship. See, the New Testament word fellowship, koinonia, means a sharing and a participation. It's sharing the Lord. It's fellowship in his word. It's fellowship in worship and prayer. That's where grace comes to build us up on the inside. So we need that. I said in the devotional, we need each other like a Holy Spirit empowered support system. And there are times when you may be weak and maybe I can come alongside and encourage you and strengthen you with prayer. But there are going to be some days I'm going to need your strength. I'm going to need your prayers. I might need your encouragement. So to fellowship in prayer, and I know when, again, maybe you can relate, when we're really going through a tough time, we can not only be tempted to give up, we can be tempted to isolate ourselves and not come into fellowship. That's not what our Father wants. It's not what the Lord wants. He says, in those moments, you might need it more than you realize. Don't stay away. Come on in. Come on into the fellowship. Receive the strength. We need each other. One last time, would you just turn to somebody there and tell them, I need you. And you need me. So we connect our faith with godly believers and pray together. One last scripture, I'll close with this. If you're right there in 2 Corinthians, would you just go back two books to Romans 8? And this would be a good scripture to close out on. This is one of my favorite chapters in all God's word. Romans chapter 8. I'll just read a few verses right toward the end of that chapter. Feed, focus, fellowship. Would you say that with me? Feed, focus, fellowship. How can I keep going when times are tough? I got to feed my faith with God's word. I've got to refocus and focus on Jesus. And I've got to fellowship in prayer with other godly believers and connect so we strengthen one another. Thank God we don't run this race alone. We each have to walk it out individually, but we're not alone. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good. Remember what he said in 2 Corinthians? It's working for us. It doesn't say all things are good. It just says we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Then verse 31, I'm close out. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? I say, thank you, Lord. Verse 32 is one of, this is my go-to verse when I don't understand and I'm hurting. I come back to what I do know when I don't know. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. I don't know why this happened. I don't know why that person did this. But he who spared not his own son, but delivered him up on a cross for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I try to come back to, this is my default. I want to come back to what I do know. Might not know why, how, when, but if I can come back to him and what I do know, he's not against me. He's for me. And he can even take what is meant for evil, though, and turn it around and work it for my good and his glory. Verse 34, so who is he who condemns? Not God. It's Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? Can all of those things or any of them separate us from the love of God that's in Christ? No. Verse 37, in all these things, we are what? We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. How can I keep going through when times are tough? That's it. Feed, focus, fellowship. Can we pray together? I want to ask you to just think about this. Maybe you haven't been feeding your faith, focusing, or look, it's a new day. Brand new mercies waiting on us when we woke up this morning. So starting today, I want to ask you to really think about this now. How will you feed your faith with God's word? How are you going to start today if you have to? How will you keep getting your focus onto Jesus? And then how are you going to just continue to stay in fellowship when you're tempted to back out? Lord, can we stand together? Lord, help us. Some may need this today, but we're all going to need it eventually. So help us to stay close to you, to do what we need to do to receive grace, to keep going in those times. And may you do it, Lord, for your own glory and your purpose and will. And even now, help us to do just like the saints we read about. We're going to thank you in advance, and we're going to trust you not only for the past, but we're going to trust you right now today, and we're going to trust you to keep doing it in the future. So Lord, have your way right now. In the name that's above every other name,